Welcome back to His Time. It is 8:45 on Friday, March 28th. That means it is time to check in with Pastor Wirth on Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, my brother.
How are we this morning?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty well, thanks. What do you have for us today in Creation Club?
Well, let's start out with Darwin's finches. I think anyone who's been in a biology class has heard about Darwin's finches, various species of finches that have been talked about when Charles Darwin made his famous voyage there and went to the Galapagos Islands and noticed all these finches that seemed to be related, but they were different. Some of them had different shaped beaks and other anatomical differences. So what he concluded is that they were descended from a common finch, but then turned into all these other different kinds of finches. Now, this is often used in biology books and museums and television shows as proof of Darwinian evolution, that is, molecules-to-man evolution, that since you can see the variation within this kind, within the finches, then you can just automatically make this leap of faith by extrapolating out and saying, well, if you could vary the kinds of the finches and then get different kinds of finches, different species of finches, then that's how you would get all the different kinds of organisms on Earth by biological evolution. Well, there's a big problem with that creationists have pointed out all along. The finches are still finches. They never evolved into a different kind of animal. Yes, you can have speciation, and creationists don't disagree that there's speciation, that from one kind of finch you can get other species of finches, but that's not the same as being able to get to being a finch when you only had lizards before, or that kind of thing. And a recent discovery shows the proof of creationism over against Darwinian evolution, because those finches are unevolving. That is to say, they are unspeciating. And that's kind of interesting. They've been observing these various kinds of finches since the 1850s. And between 1852 and 1900, there were three distinct kinds of finches that were identified on one of the Galapagos Islands, and that's Floriana Island. And there was a large tree finch, a medium tree finch, and a small tree finch. And besides the size, there were other anatomical differences that led biologists to classify them as distinct species. But something in the last 50 years has been going on, so that now one of the species of this particular variety of finch has disappeared without a trace. And the other two seem to be merging back into one species instead of having the three species that they identified back in the 1850s. In fact, today we have more sophisticated means to check that out besides just the outward morphological, anatomical similarities and differences. They could use DNA markers. And checking out the DNA markers, that also shows that they are hybridizing and returning to one species of finch rather than having the three species. Now, biologists suspect that a parasitic fly that was introduced about 50 years ago may have provided pressure on these finches. The fly's larvae kill finch nestlings, and hybrid finch nests sampled had fewer flies. Therefore, the biologists suspect the hybrids are more resistant to parasitic predation by the flies. And, you know, this actually fits right in with what creationists have said all along. Notice, the finches never evolved into something that was not a finch. They were still finches. They were just different kinds of finches. It's kind of like with dogs. You know, there was a dog kind way back in the beginning when God created dogs, and on Noah's Ark there would have been the dog kind. But from the dog kind that got off of the ark, all the varieties of dogs that we have today have descended. They're all still dogs, the varieties of dogs, but all the variation that you see, with whether they're big or small, short-haired, long-haired, big tails, long tails, long snouts, pug snouts, you know, floppy ears, pointy ears, all of that is variation within a kind. And as Ken Ham has pointed out many times before, when what you have with the variations within the kind, and you get like by the purebred, like purebred poodle or something like that, or purebred Yorkie, they are less fit. really, than the predecessor mongrel, the Heinz 57, because they lose genetic information. They don't gain genetic information. When you purebred dogs, you lose information and they become less healthy. And people who deal with dogs can tell you that purebred dogs often have a lot of health problems. And going back to these finches, that seems to be their case too. When they speciated, there was an advantage for them in terms of gathering food and the different things that they did. But now with the pressure that was applied to them by having the parasites, they're healthier when you have the Heinz 57 original kind of finch rather than the specialized finches as they had become speciated. So again, this is something that ties in very beautifully with a creationist understanding of origins, and it kind of goes against the prevailing idea that Darwin's finches prove molecules to man evolution, which they do not.
Anything about whale fossils that on the radar?
Oh, yes. Maybe we should say on the sonar.
That's true.
Because a recent discovery in South Carolina of a whale fossil, a toothed whale fossil that they found that, according to their dating methods, they would say is 28 million years old, shows that it by the bony structures in the skull there, that it already had sonar echolocating ability, which surprises the evolutionists because they would think that this would take a long, long time to develop. But even in this very, very, very ancient, by their recollection, way of this ancient fossil of this whale shows that from the beginning, you know, when whales appear in the fossil record and they appear abruptly, that is, without transitional intermediates paving the way for them, when they appear, here they are. They've got a skull that is, a variety of the kinds that we have now of toothed whales. The skull looks very similar, and particularly the structures that have to do with echolocation. And so the use of sonar, isn't that a wonderful thing that God put into whales to be able to do that? You know, bats have that too. God gave bats and whales the ability to locate prey by echolocation. So they send out a sound, and then they have special receivers to receive back the sounds that bounce off of the things, in the case of whales, underwater, in the case of bats, in the air, and they're able to process that in their brains, just as we use radar and sonar that human beings have made, and they can locate their prey. And again, how would you explain that by evolution? But, you know, God created these creatures with this special equipment to be able to do what they do, the toothed whales, and that would include, you know, dolphins, porpoises, and toothed whales like killer whales and the big Moby Dick sperm whale would have had that kind of, and still do have that kind of echolocation system. And this ancient fossil that the evolutionists say is 28 million years old, what do you know? It shows evidence of having had that already, too, clear back a long time ago. So we don't believe the time dating of this. You know, we believe the Earth is much younger and that their millions and billions of years is based upon faulty, unverifiable assumptions, which we can explain in another program. But basically, it's, you know, we would say this ties right in with what we would believe, that, you know, whales were whales from the beginning. They appear in the fossil record abruptly. When they appear, they have the features that modern whales have, and that there were varieties. We still do see, you know, in the fossil record as well as in living species of whales, there's variety within a kind, but you don't see a transition from a different kind to this. And the whole scheme that evolutionists try to tell you when you go to a museum and they try to show how whales evolved from land-dwelling creatures, that all falls apart very quickly. There's an excellent DVD about this as well as a book about it by Dr. Carl Werner, who did extensive research about this, and he shows step by step how the stuff that gets displayed in biology textbooks and in museum displays is phony. And when he went in and questioned the archaeologists and who were behind the fossils that were found about whales, where they tell this tale of how you went from a four-legged land-dwelling creature to the aquatic creature that became today's whales, And he shows how that all quickly falls apart when you question them and say, well, what did you actually find? Show us what you found, not just the drawing that the artist made. The drawings by artists are based on their imagination, but when you see the actual fossil evidence for it, there is no fossil evidence for four-legged land-dwelling animal turning into the whales. And the stuff that we just recently heard about, the discovery in South Carolina, ties into that. When whales appear early in the fossil record, like modern whales, they have these features, including the features necessary for echolocation.
So I would think if evolution were true, we would have developed that skill, right?
Well, wouldn't you like it? When you go swimming, or if you were going around at night, you know, like a bat, you wouldn't need to use your eyes. You could just use your echolocation system, and, you know, who needs, you know, why don't we just develop these things because we want to? And very often, when evolutionists tell their story, that's about what it sounds like. You know, you had a four-legged creature that was walking next to the beach, and then it wanted to get out into the water. And the more it went out in the water, well, its legs turned into flippers, and you know, pretty soon it was living in the water. And it's like there are all kinds of creatures that live next to the water that would probably like to swim and get out there, but they don't just automatically develop that. Or human beings. How about flight? You know, why don't we just develop wings and feathers and fly? Because human beings have wanted to fly like the birds for a long time, but it doesn't happen by evolution, does it? You know, when people wanted to fly, they've eventually built aircraft, and it took intelligent design to figure out how you could make something go through the air and fly, how to propel it, how to deal with all the forces, you know, lift and thrust and all of this kind of stuff. And that took intelligent design. It didn't happen by millions and billions of years of random mutations. And that's a significant thing. So once again, evolution falls flat on its face. And when you read the Bible's account of creation, you realize that's exactly the way it is. When God made birds, they were birds. When God made whales, they were whales. And everything to this day still reproduces after its own kind and gives glory to God the Creator. And in the season of Lent, you know, we always want to make sure that we make that connection from the Creator to Christ, because, you know, we believe what the Bible says because the Bible says that. It's God's Word. God doesn't lie to us. But when we use our senses and the reason God gave us in correct scientific observation, we realize that the Bible holds up. It stands up to scientific scrutiny. And what God told us about creation, mankind's fall into sin, and our need for a Savior, all of that is true. And then that all came true. You know, the fact that God promised to send a Savior, He did in the fullness of time send Him. He fulfilled all those promises that God made of the coming of the Savior when He suffered, died, and rose again for us, for our salvation. So it's wonderful for us to be able to use resources from people like the good folks at the Creation Museum, Answers in Genesis, who with us believe that the Bible is God's Word and believe that everything leads us to Christ. You know, so we want to understand what God says in the beginning about our creation and see how that fits right in with the story of our salvation by Jesus Christ, who is our Creator and our Redeemer, who died for us and rose again.
Amen. Pastor Wirth, great to check in with you for Creation Club today.
Good to talk to you. Look forward to next week.
Amen. God's blessings to you.
God bless you.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer. Stick around for more His Time on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO.